Good afternoon, Hope Church. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Welcome to our third service today. Glad and honored to have you. Our third. She said, Lord, touch her hearing. She's still sleeping. If you're a guest with us, we're honored to have you worship the Lord with us. We at Hope Church give you anonymity, which basically means hang out, hide out, make yourself at home. We will not ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself today. And everybody said, amen. What a great week. The youth are back from camp. Fantastic. Amen. Shout out to Devin and all the leaders that put so much time and energy to make that work. It was a fantastic time. My wife and I, my daughter, went and spent a few days with some of the youth and the counselors. Just a good chance to talk to them and play a little basketball with them and have a good time. And it was a powerful week. I think it was, in my opinion, the best weeks or youth camp we've had. This is our third year of doing it ourselves. We were at some campground, and so that was a powerful time. But we'll show you a video of that in a few seconds. But I did want to tell you, don't forget, next Sunday, a lot of things happening. Even right now, the children's ministry today was graduation Sunday, so based on age, they were graduating to different classes and levels, so that's happening. Next Sunday in the children's ministry, if you didn't know, we do have a fantastic ministry for kids on the first level. Thank you for that. Pretty good timing. And so next Sunday, all the children that come to Air Force or Children's Church, which is the grade school age, will receive a free school backpack. It's a new outreach we're doing this year. And again, they have to be here, though, so no one go and say, I got four kids at home. Can I get? Nope. My neighbors and cousins that all need them? Nope. It got to be here. But it's a new outreach we're trying. I love trying out new outreaches to help people, minister needs of people, besides what we have going already. So that'll be going on next Sunday. And next Sunday night, say next Sunday night, is our Aquaport sequel, our family and friends event. She likes water. So we had that event, and then there was a thunderstorm, and so halfway through was canceled, and they were gracious enough to give us another date. So we got a couple hours there. So if you had a ticket, don't forget, that is next Sunday night. Check the bulletin for time. If you didn't have a ticket, you can still come because we're not accepting tickets. Just keep in mind, there's the capacity, I believe, of the park is like 1,100. We had 750 people show up with tickets last time. And so if more people show up, may or may not get in. So get there early if you plan on coming. We'll see how it plays out. And if you think there might not be room for you, invite somebody who had a ticket last time. Tell them you pick them up and then don't pick them up. Then you guarantee you got a spot. I mean, just joking. I'm just seeing if you're listening to me. Just joking. All right, come on, lighten up there. All right, you want to see the video of this past camp? All right, go ahead and show them. Let's watch this.
Turn it up. in the house.
They had a great time. I tell you what, if you had a teenager that went to camp, two things I know for sure. One is they probably slept a lot this weekend. And secondly, I guarantee you they had a great time and were touched by God's presence and power. It was a powerful week. Honestly, it was a powerful week. You ready for the word?
Yeah.
All right, put your hands together. Come on. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. I thank you for every person here under the sound of my voice. I thank you for your hand of blessing and healing and wholeness. I thank you that you know where we're at. We're not lost. We're not forgotten. We're not overlooked. You see each and every one of us where we're at, what we need. And I thank you that as we stretch towards you, as we move towards you, you are moving toward us today. Let today be designated as such a God opportunity that our future will remember this moment of the day, the mark, the moment that you changed us, spoke to our lives, healed us, whatever is needed. And we vow to give you all the praise and the glory. And everybody shouted?
Amen.
Amen. Shout the real me.
The real me.
Say the real me.
The real me.
The real me.
The real me.
Everybody has a self-image. Do you have the right one? In life, we can allow circumstances, situations, people, problems, perspectives, things said to us, things done to us to shape us, conform us to who we are. The Bible says don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Why? Because who you are is not identified by what's happened to you or what's around you, but who God says you are. When you find out the real you, your identity, the real you is greater than what the person you see in the reflection of the mirror. It's learning who you are by the reflection of God's word. And that real you, that self-image, that identity is so important. It's overlooked in the church world so many times. But it is so, so important in your walk with God. Because when you don't understand who you are, you'll never do what God's called you to do. Because the enemy's tactic, if he can't stop you from coming to church or learning about God, is to so derail your identity. What was the big key in the wilderness when he was tempting Jesus? If you are the Son of God. Because if he can get you to doubt your identity, he can derail your destiny. We see through Scripture so many times, time and time again in the New Testament, talks about who you are in Christ or in him or in God. Those phrases, look it up, Google it in your own time, and it's scripture upon scripture. In fact, we have that daily text scripture coming to you of different verses of the Bible that tells you who you are in Christ. Why? Because faith comes by hearing. We want you to begin to see yourself as God sees you, as God reveals to you. When you understand that, you'll be strong, you'll be bold, you'll be able to stand up against the enemy, you'll be able to charge the opportunities that God gives you. Why? Because you know that you can do it with God. Say, I can do it. Come on, shout, I can do it. And a lot of church circles, they push down and oppress people and tell them, you're no good, you're a sinner saved by grace. Let me help you out. If you're saved, you are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are a whole new creation. All things are brand new. Are you with me? You're not a former that's become a little better. No, you are a brand new created in the image of God. You are connected to the vine, part of the family of God, in a new kingdom of light and no longer in the kingdom of darkness. What am I telling you? We have to allow the old stuff to fall to the wayside so that we can put on Jesus Christ, put on the armor of God, become who he's called us to be, and charge the giants, charge the opportunities, deal with the problems in the mountains that normally you would never touch if you just see yourself the way you've always seen yourself. If you think that you could never do it, you won't. The reason the righteous are bold as a lion is because the righteous are in right standing with God. Joshua 1:8, be strong and courageous. And so we've been talking about how does God see us? And one key verse that has been throughout most of this series, and again, this is probably one of the longest series we've done in a while, but it's so important that we keep hearing this and keep hearing this. Because faith comes by hearing, not having heard. It's so important that you begin to embrace and let God bring that change on the inside. Because many Christians don't want God to change the inside. They just want God to change the outside. God, fix this problem. God, help me pay this bill. God, help me. And church has become, and the relationship with God has become nothing less than my emergency red phone when I have a problem or crisis. I'm just praying God will deal with it. Lord, deal with the devil for me. God says, I can't. I gave that authority to you. See, the Bible doesn't say, pray that God would resist the devil. It says, you resist the devil. Jesus didn't say, pray so that I can bind and loose. It says, I give you authority. What you permit will be permitted. What you do not permit will not be permitted. See, God puts you in the driver's seat. Although there's Christian songs out there, they'll say, Jesus, take the wheel. That's not scriptural. Jesus created you to take the wheel of your life, your car, and you to bring his will into your world. That's the point. Not doing your thing, but bringing God's will into your world. And when you make God's will a priority and bring it into your world will be amazing. Your world, your life will be better than you could ever imagine. For the Bible tells us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. The Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Can I get an amen on one of those two? I'm telling you, your life will never be the quality of life that God has for you until you start realizing it's not me doing my thing, it's me doing his thing. Number one priority. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say amen.
Amen.
And we're finding out through scripture that God is not weak and God does not want you to be weak. You're not a victim. Say, I'm not a victim.
I'm not a victim.
I'll tell you what, a victim mentality is dangerous. It's poison, but it's also luring and enticing. Once you start feeling the warmth, sympathy of others' concern, oh, that kind of feels good. But it will entrap you to stay where you're at. You got to break away and say, listen, I appreciate it, but I don't need nor want sympathy. I want opportunity to do better, be better, have better. Amen. If someone's going to help you, let them help you up, not help you to keep you down. I'm telling you, I've seen people that they wanted things to be better, but they wouldn't challenge the things that were causing them to be bad. And they almost got to where they liked the problem because they became identified by the problem and they got sympathy for the problem. That's not the plan of God. You're more than a conqueror. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and always to be, you're always and never to be beneath. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But that won't happen because God wants it or God said it. It'll happen when you embrace what God wants to do and he changes you on the inside and he says, now you're empowered. Now you change around you.
Yes.
Not everybody's world, but your world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
My goal is to see you so stirred up, so strong, and so aggressive that you'll challenge the enemy when he messes with your world. Amen. All right, let's look at this first verse that we've been talking about. For God has not given you the spirit of fear. The word fear there, and it includes the context of God doesn't want you to be afraid because fear has torment. Perfect love casts out fear. But the actual Greek word here is God does not want you, has not given you the spirit of timidity. See, if the devil can't stop you from knowing about Jesus or going to church, he'll try to tell you that it's spiritual to be timid so you won't rise up against anything. But God didn't give you the spirit of timidity. He did not, meekness is not weakness. God wants you to be strong, but he's giving you power. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power. Say power.
Power.
Say power.
Power.
Power produces change. Say that with me. Power produces change. The King James can call it fruit. You know what I mean? You can call it results. Power produces change. Let me say that again. Power produces change. Change that you not only feel, change that you not only see, but change that can be seen by others. Malachi 3 says, God said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. And it said that all nations will call you blessed. Nations, atheists, idol worshipers, people that don't love God, people that don't know God. See, you don't need any discernment spiritually to walk up to an apple tree and see an apple and say, there's an apple. You don't have to pray about it. Why? Because you can see it. Stick with me. You can see it. It's pretty obvious, right? If I go up to that tree and it doesn't have any fruit, I can look at it and say, I wonder what kind of tree it is. I might not know, but when I see the fruit, I know what kind of tree it is. Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit, right? You have to be saved to see the fruit. What we have done in the church world globally, historically, is we have moved away from the context of God's power, and we've convinced ourselves that God's powerful, and we use it only as an emotional position that, oh, I feel better, God's doing something. And I'm glad that when God begins to work, you're going to feel better. You're going to see it and be a better perspective emotionally about it. Praise God. But if it stops there, you haven't experienced what God has for you. Because the change of God by the power of God is of such nature that people who do not know God will see it. So I can tell you, and you can tell each other, and we can look at each other and say, God bless you, you're blessed, you're the head and not the tail, and you get emotionally excited about it. But when you go out to your world and there's no change and you are still broken, busted, and disgusted, you have yet to see the fulfillment, the completion of God's power in that area of your life. You know when God's blessed you because it takes power, for the Bible says, and God tells his people that when I bless you, I want you to remember it is me that has given you power to get wealth. The power of God can bless you, but it's just not an emotional blessing. It's a blessing where the people that don't know God will see that you're blessed. It's one thing to say, you're the healed of the Lord, and by his stripes you were healed. And that's the beginning when you start accepting that and agreeing with it and believing it. And this is wonderful. Praise God. I don't have to stay sick. I don't have to be sick. By his stripes I'm healed. And you get that revelation, and you're excited, and you have peace about it. Praise God. You have hope. Praise God. But faith is not completed until some atheist doctor, some doctor that don't even believe in healing, does an x-ray and says, wait a minute, something's wrong. We've run all the blood work, all the lab work, the x-rays, and what you had, you don't have anymore. On, talking to somebody today. This is not mind over matter. This is not imagination. This is not just feel it, but it is not real. No, this is God's world changing your three-dimensional, what you might call the real world, so that what God says, you have it, and people see it that don't know him, so that your life becomes a billboard of the goodness of God. What do they say to you when they ask, what happened? I don't know what to say. You can be just like the guy when they said, tell us how he did this. He says, I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is once I was blind, but now I see. Do you know an eye doctor can test you and say, you were blind before, now you see. That's a noticeable change. Are you with me? See, I am tired of believers that call themselves believers setting the standard so low that it can be argued. Oh, the Lord's blessed me. How did he bless? Oh, he gave me 5% off at that deal. Praise God for the 5%, but a lot of people got the 5% off. Everybody in the company got a 2% raise. What if they were taking a cut in the company payroll because they were low on budget, but they still gave you a 20% raise? Ah, you with me? When everybody's swimming down the same stream, praise God, you bless God that he's helping you. But if everybody's getting, I want to see when everybody's going the opposite direction. And we've had those testimonies. They pull them aside and say, listen, don't tell anybody. We're actually having to cut people's salaries, but you, we're giving you a raise. Now that's a whole different story. Doctor says, I can't discuss this. I can't figure this out because you had that in your system, but now your heart is healed. Come on, somebody. Your liver's not working. Come on, somebody. There's no more scar tissue there. Come on, somebody. All of a sudden, the level that we should be believing for is a level that cannot be explained away by those who do not know him. Don't shout me down. You mess with me, I'll get in your face too. I'm telling you that God is so powerful. He is not intimidated by your problem. He is not afraid of your mountain. He is not scared of your enemy, but he is strong, and he wants you to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He didn't say anything about feeling strong. He said, be strong. And don't you stop fighting until you see the fruit of the seed. Don't you stop fighting until the seed of his word, Matthew 13, that's been planted in your heart, is at the level of producing fruit, which is change, which means an effect that has come from the promise of God's word, where all of a sudden your marriage is restored because of the word. Your body is healed because of the word. Your finances are blessed because of the word. Are you with me? Don't you stop that battle. Don't you stop pursuing until you see God's power change your world as he works in you and through you to make a difference. You guys are a little too quiet for me. Don't let me tell you about the 8:30 and 10 o'clock service. They might be early, but some of them are pretty wild. Pretty energetic. They're hungry for the things of God. I think you are too. Because I'm telling you, the standard we set in the church shouldn't be something that you can obtain. It should be so high. See, God will take someone who's never had kids, say, I'll make you a father. And just to prove it, I'll let you wait and think about this for a few years. So that you come to the place that you realize, and the Bible tells us, New Testament, that Abraham came to a place that he believed, he considered, he depended not on his own flesh ability to do it, but he believed that the God who made the promise is well able. But God works through you. It's not a matter of I'm going to pray and let God do everything. God says, no, I need you to obey. Because faith without works, which literally means of no effect. That means I believe it. I'm emotionally happy about it, but I don't see it ever change. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works has no effect. God wants you to take what you believe and then obey and see a change. But many of us, we pray and see no answers. We work and see nothing different. And it seems like our world hasn't changed in years. And we're like, God, what's wrong? For God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power. I want to look at one more verse in the time we have remaining. And I believe there's a key element to help us. If you find yourself spinning and going around the mountain, around the mountain, around the mountain, doing the same thing, and it all could be good things, but if there's no power backing it, then maybe you're not doing the right thing. See, God backs his word. He doesn't back your effort. He doesn't back what you say or do. He backs what he says and does. If he speaks something, if he tells you to do something, then his power backs it. When his power backs it, there will always be a change. If there's no change, don't blame God. Maybe we could reevaluate. What am I doing wrong, God? What am I missing that I'm not seeing your change? Your power change in my life? Good question, is it not? Let's look at this verse in Daniel. But the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I want you to notice a couple things. But the people that know, say no.
No.
Say no.
No.
The people that know their God. That word know in the Hebrew is actually yada, which means to know by experience. To know by experience. Those who know their God. See, you might know about someone, but that doesn't mean you know them. You can tell me stats or facts or trivia information about an actor, an athlete, a political position, a president, but you don't know them. You know about them. You can see them and recognize, oh, that's who they are, but you don't know them. You know somebody when you know them well enough that when someone says something about them, you know if it's true or not. Right. Oh, that's not my friend because my friend would never do that. I know them, right? You know their identity, their heart, you know their rhythm, and you know what they would do and wouldn't do. And so someone says, oh, they did that. And you're like, no, not them. I know them. I know them well enough that you must not be getting the facts right. People will talk about God, and people are like, you're right. Like, why would God do that? God didn't do it. You didn't know him. You know him through his word. You know him from his presence. The people that know their God shall be strong. Now catch this. When you know God, you become strong. How do I know God? I know him by experience. Listen to me. How do we know God by experience? By getting into his presence. If you're taking notes, one of the things you can do, Joshua 1:8, meditate on the word. God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. I will be with you. No one will be able to stand against you. Joshua 1, verse 6 through 9. No one will be able to stand against you. I am with you. All I need you to do is be strong and courageous. How do I do that? By meditating on my word day and night. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. He gets the word. See, faith comes, Romans 10 tells us, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. 1 John chapter 5 tells us, and this is the victory that overcomes your challenges, even your faith. So you got to get in the Word. Let's try that again. You got to get in the Word.
Amen.
You have to spend time in prayer. Jude verse 20. Praying in the Holy Spirit and building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit. Prayer strengthens you. Really, you bring it down. It's His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. What's that got to do with anything? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, it's just not praying, and it's just not reading the Bible, because we've all read the Bible or prayed and never experienced Him. We did it out of routine. Checklist, done, talk to you later, and on my day I go. But I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to read the Bible. I encourage you to worship God. I encourage you to come to church with the anticipation and the expectation that I am going to experience His presence today. It takes different levels, different times, based on what you're dealing with, where you're at. But the goal is for you to read until you experience His Word come alive, to pray until you begin to experience His presence, because it's in His presence you're going to become strong. Those who experience God, those who know God by experience, shall be what? Shall be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, which is put on Jesus. Get the truth of God's Word in your life, and you'll be strong. Strong, not emotionally, strong in the position of who you are. But the people that know their God shall be strong, notice, and do exploits. That word do exploits is actually one word in the Hebrew, and it literally means to act with a cause or a change. To act is basically to do something that generates change. So those who are spending time experiencing God are strong, and when they act, they produce change. We're wanting God to change the world around us. God wants to strengthen you on the inside so that you step in the authority of who you are in your world and bring change to your world around you. See, Joseph couldn't handle a coat given to him by his father. It brought pride. But one day in the process, God, through His Word, changed Joseph, and one day he could stand with the cloak, the coat, with the crown of Pharaoh, the second most powerful man in Egypt. And all of a sudden, it didn't bring him pride. He understood it wasn't about him. It was all about God. When it's all about you, guess what happens? Then we spend time with God so that we can be strong. Why? Because it feels good to be strong. But that's not the complete picture. Think of it this way. If an athlete was in college, or an athlete was a professional athlete, they'll send them to the gym to work out. And the reason they send them to the gym to work out is so they can be stronger. So the first day of camp, the coach might say, "How are you doing?" "Oh, coach, I've been hitting the weights. I've been in the gym all day in off season." "Great. Are you stronger?" "Oh, I am like 40% stronger than last season." "Wonderful. Now let's go get on the field and see what you can do." "You know what, coach? I don't want to do that." "What do you mean you want to do that? You're on the team, aren't you?" "Oh, yeah, I'm on the team, coach. I'm fully committed to the team." "Well, get out there. Let's see what you can do now." "No, I don't want to do anything. I'm comfortable just going to the gym and getting stronger. I feel so good about going to the gym. I'm starting to enjoy it, going to the gym and getting stronger." "Well, great. Get on the field. Let's see what you can do." "No, I don't want to do anything." Folks, that's where a lot of Christians are in their walk with God. "I enjoy spending time and reading my Bible, and it makes me feel good to be strong." "Well, get out there and do something." "I don't really want to do something. I'm just happy with going to church and reading my Bible." Do you see a problem with this? Because God wants you in the game. God wants you to win. Your Heavenly Father wants you to have a victory in the areas of your life. And that means He needs you to do something. You can be training and be stronger, but if you're not in the game, it's not benefiting anybody. It's not a matter of, "Oh, I'll just do a little." No, get out in the game. Let's see the plays you can make. Let's see. And here's the challenge. Some people aren't even in the game. Some people, since we're on this analogy of sports, some people get in the game and they run their own plays. were you doing, says the coach. Oh, I got out there, and coach, I just had all these great ideas. I just knew that I could score if I did this. Wait a minute. That's not the play. Oh, I don't need your playbook. I have my own. We didn't use this analogy in the first two services, so stick with me. I don't need your playbook, coach. I have my own. See, you got to understand, you're on God's team, God's family, God's army, right? And here comes to when you do something, how to get power behind it. You do it by following his playbook. But I got my own playbook. Well, then you need to lay that down. I got my own plans. You need to lay that down. Jesus said, when you live life for your own benefit, you'll not have much. But if you lay down your life for me and the gospel's sake, you'll have true life. I like to say it this way. When you lay down your playbook and say, God, I'm going to follow your playbook. Do you know what a lot? Let me bring it to something we can all relate to if you're not into sports. Here's something a lot of Christians do. We spend time and go to church. We begin to pray. We get to know enough of the word. And then we become confident of the strength. And then we start thinking we don't need to follow God. We'll just do our own thing. And we expect God to back our thing. Well, God, I've been working. I've been doing this. Why didn't you do it? Well, I didn't tell you to do this. Let me just throw you a curve. There's a scripture that Jesus said in the Gospels, and he said, many will come to me in the last days and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do great and mighty works in your name? And he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, I remember a while back, this becoming a revelation. If you study out that verse, he said, you workers of iniquity. They didn't do anything that seemed like sin. Healing people, casting out devils, preaching the gospel. That's a good thing. In the Living Translation, it brings out a different word of the word iniquity. And that translation says, he said to them, depart from me, you who did unauthorized works. See, there's a big difference between doing a good thing and doing the God thing. And a God thing and a good thing could look similar. But a God thing and a good thing, the difference is the God thing is God told you to do it. A good thing is you just thought, oh, this is a great thing, let me do it. Somebody else is doing it. Oh, I'm going to copy them. People ask me, Pastor, why don't we do this as a church or do that? I'll tell you why. Real simple. God didn't tell us to do it. And if we do what God didn't tell us to do, we're on our own strength and energy, and you'll be exhausted. Not near as successful and pretty wasted. It tires you out to do your thing, even if it looks like a God thing. When you do a God thing, it's rest without the stress and still have success. Come on, somebody. Effort without the exhaustion, because God backs it. Am I helping anybody today? See, it's not a matter of you coming up with your own playbook and your own ideas. Thank you for the claps, but a little late. You got to be a little more quicker around here. It's not a matter of you coming up and doing stuff. It's doing the right thing. How do I know the right thing? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. You got to learn to be a sheep to the master. But I don't know if I can understand his voice. It's because you haven't been in his presence and his word. When you spend time experiencing him through his word and his presence, you get to know him. Have you ever been in a situation in a room, maybe at a party or a restaurant, and you begin to hear somebody's voice and you recognize them and you didn't know they were even there? It's not because you were listening for them or looking for them, but you heard them and you know them well enough that when you heard that, you're like, I know that laugh. Is so-and-so here? Yeah, how did you know? They just walked in. See, that's what it is. It's when the Bible says to be praying always, it doesn't mean that you're on your hands and knees and praying 24/7. You can't do that. But when you are experiencing him and know him, you are always open. Your spirit is prepared and open to hear when he speaks. You don't have to be looking for his voice. You don't have to be listening for his voice. But you know his voice. And the moment he speaks, you're like, wait a minute, that's the Lord speaking to me. Well, I want to hear his voice. Well, listen, if you're not following the written word of God, you'll never obey the spoken word of God. There's levels to much given and much required. When you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in much. Start reading his word and applying it. Some people just, it's all about a voice, and they're looking for a voice. And when you begin to look for voices, the devil will accommodate. Too many good people have been sidetracked because they just knew the Lord spoken to them because they were looking for some voice to guide them. And they got all messed up. Well, I know the Lord told me to do that. Well, you haven't been spending time in the Word. The Word will give you a foundation to stand on. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why? If you're not following the word, if the word is not a valuable asset in your walk with God and in your world, if the Bible is just something you're supposed to do and not the life that you're drawing from it, then you will not ever successfully hear correctly the voice of God. You got to start with the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
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 Thank you very much. And so how do I hear? I spend time with God. When I spend time with God, I recognize his direction, and I'm getting stronger. Notice, and I'm not doing what I want to do. I do what he shows me to do. A key theme through the ministry of Jesus and the Gospels was, I haven't come to do what I want to do. I've come to do the will of the Father. I don't say what I want to say. I say what the will of the Father, what the Father speaking. He was doing the will of the Father, saying what the Father said, doing what the Father was doing. He was anointed to do something. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to do. A lot of us just want to be strong, but not do. But if you're strong and don't do, then you're not obeying his instruction. And when you don't obey his instruction, there'll not be a change. See, so I experience him, which gives me strength. Out of that strength, he'll show me a direction. And when I obey that direction, his power brings the change. How do I find the direction? By being in his presence, and I stay strong. And when he says, run this play, I run the play, and he gives me victory, and I keep doing it. It's a complete cycle. I don't try to make up a play. I don't try to deviate from the play. I'm just open for him to show me the play, and I just give my best. I'm trusting him to do the rest. He gives me a win. He gives me a touchdown. He gives me a victory, and guess what happens? I keep doing the cycle. What a lot of people do, they just keep spinning. Motion without direction, and they have no progression. They don't get any better. I keep going to church. I don't know what the problem is. You're not open. You're not experiencing him. I keep trying. I gave some money in the offering, and nothing came back. You're doing it out of motion and instead of out of revelation. When you get a heart of when you get a heart of revelation about the financial kingdom of God, God's financial system that he has, see, other than that, when you don't have a revelation, you'll think it's a gimmick, you'll think it's an angle, or you think it's manipulation, and some people do that. But when you understand from your heart that God's revealed from his word, that if you want God to bless you, you've got to begin to tithe. If you're not a tither, giving offerings make no difference. You're not even in covenant. I know that got a loud shout right there. I can say that with a clear conscience because you are not our source. I had to come to a heart revelation myself that my source for me and this ministry is from God. And I'm thankful for that because I've had people that would give a lot of money try to manipulate me to do what they wanted. And I was prepared to handle the situation and say, I love you, but don't ever threaten me with your tithe. That's between you and Jesus. And they'd go down the road. And I didn't stress because as soon as they walked out the door, God sent other people in. Because you're not my source. God is my source. But I have a heart revelation of it. So I don't look at you as paying a bill. No. I look at you giving as you partaking what God is doing and you being blessed from obeying God. Do you really think your $30 is going to make or break a ministry? Really? Why? Because when you get a heart revelation and obey God, his power backs it. I want you to give so you can be blessed. I don't want your tithe from the day. I want your tithe of where you're going. Because we could take your money and use it to feed the hungry, start more churches, and help the hurting. Preach the gospel. Too late now. Just keep it. But the people that do know their God, people that experience God, shall be strong and shall do what the Heavenly Father shows them to do from his word by his Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but will remind you of my words. What is he doing? Showing you through the word, revealing the word to your heart. And as you obey, you have victory. As you obey, you have power. As you obey, you'll see change. It might not happen overnight. But it's happening and changing, the process beginning. And all of a sudden, your body's being healed. Your emotions are being made whole. those wounds that kept you back and that baggage is starting to disappear. Your attitude's changing. Your relationships are changing. Your finances, whatever it might be. Because you're not weak. You're strong. And if you think you're weak, you just don't know the real you yet. But it's staying his word. And you'll begin to see who you really are. Amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done. Hallelujah. Bow your head and close your eyes if you would. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking you to know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm not into religion. I define that as man's rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you say, Pastor, I don't know Jesus in a real and personal way, can I really know him that way? Absolutely. Revelation 3, he says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Give me an opportunity and I'll make myself real to you. So I'm going to pray a prayer in a few seconds that Jesus would make himself real to you in a way that you know, the way you process and the way you experience, that you would know for yourself that, number one, he is real, and number two, that he's your personal Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and say, Pastor, I want that. I want Jesus to make himself real to me. More than rules of do's and don'ts, more than routines and rituals, I want to know him in a real and personal way. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, at the count of three, I want you to simply lift your hand and look me in the eye so I know who I'm praying with. One, two, three. Include me in that prayer, Pastor. I see the hand. I see the second hand, third hand. God bless you. I see the fourth hand, the fifth hand, sixth hand. God bless you. I see the seventh and eighth hand. God bless you. I see the ninth hand. God bless you. 10, 11, 12, 13th hand. God bless you. 14 and 15 in the back. 16 in the front. God bless you. 17. God bless you. 18, 19. God bless you. 20. God bless you. Anybody else? 21 over there. 22 in the far back left. God bless you. Anybody else? 23. God bless you. 24. God bless you. 25, 26, 27 in the second row. God bless you. 28 over here in the corner. God bless you. Anybody else before I pray? Anybody else before I pray? Don't miss your opportunity. 29. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. 30. God bless you right there. Wonderful. 31 to the front. God bless you. Anybody else before I pray? 32 over here. 33 right there. Thank you, sir. 34 in the very back. God bless you. Anybody else before? 35 in the corner. Thank you. 36. God bless you. Anybody else? It's between you and Jesus. Anybody else before we pray? Don't miss your opportunity. 37 in the very far right. God bless you. I feel there's somebody else here. I don't know who you are. Anybody else before we pray? 38. God bless you. 39. Amen. Amen. One more second. Let's pray this prayer together. If you raise your hands, let it come from your heart. Church, join us. Join us in the 39 friends. Say with me, say, God, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is a son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on the cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in, and I ask you for you to make yourself real to me today in a way that I know for myself that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. I receive you today. I receive salvation today. I receive forgiveness today. Thank you for saving me. Amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. We have a couple gifts. Ushers, take your positions. We have a couple gifts we want to give you before the service is over. Also, we want to get ready to receive our Sunday.